everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 121 for Thursday, January 3rd, 2013. Welcome to the new year. If you are joining us for your very first time, I know there are a lot of new boys and girls on the site. Welcome. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host for the podcast, editor of AndroidCentral.com, and an all-around good guy, I like to think. The jury's still out for some, I guess. So, we do this, normally we do this live on Thursday nights. We're doing a little bit earlier this week because Alex has to hop on a plane pretty soon and come on over to America.
Yeah, in about probably maybe 36 hours or so.
Yeah.
It's not long.
This will be your second time over here, right?
Yep. First time in Vegas. Gonna be interesting.
I can't wait for that.
Looking forward to it.
Alex's little eyes are just gonna—they're gonna be like, "Oh my god, it's so exciting!"
Well, I'm gonna get there after doing like 15 hours of traveling and being awake for the best part of a day. So I'm just gonna be—if I could even speak—it's gonna be an achievement.
That's actually the best way to do Vegas, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's so just loud and obnoxious and. I tell you, my worst thing now is having to walk through all the smoke in the casinos to go to your room at night. It's just like, I can't breathe. And like, the air is so dry out there anyway. Vegas is fun. We'll have good food. We'll have a good time. So we'll talk CES in a second because that's why we're going to Vegas. We've also got Jerry Hildenbrand from the site here.
Hola. I'm not going to Vegas. I'm not allowed back.
What was the line from Swingers? Not going to Vegas. I guess I can't really. I can't repeat all the words they said, but you know. So we got Vegas coming up. We haven't done an official podcast in a couple weeks, and anything really happened? I can't think of too much. Briefly, so we talk about Android here. By the way, this is what we do on the podcast. So we've got what we you want to talk briefly about that Motorola X phone and just get it out of the way.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to list everything we know about it.
All right.
Done.
Good job.
Done.
Yep.
So we had a post in our forums from somebody who I think later killed the post, just was worried about identification and stuff, and that happens. And then like 24 hours later, the Wall Street Journal had a full story, which didn't actually say a lot other than Motorola is working on some phone that will have features and be a phone. And run Android. And that's basically all it said. A whole lot of background about Google buying Motorola, which really didn't mean much of anything. I think Black Man X later came out and said that, yeah, it was a Nexus candidate, but, you know, it's a phone. So that's kind of all I have to say about that. Now, the post in our forums, and we added this into our...
Probably want to get this out there that it's distinct from Nexus. There was nothing,
right.
I think, anywhere reported that it was a Nexus candidate. The Nexus thing, I think, was in relation to something else. But my thing is this is probably going to be a Motorola device, and you know, a Motorola branded device, not a Nexus or necessarily a Google device.
People are having such a hard time.
So all these crazy features that we're seeing on top of Android, those are going to be Motorola features, not Google features.
Right.
People just happen to interact with. Go on.
People are having such a hard time making a distinction between Motorola and Google just because Google bought Motorola, which turned out to be kind of a fuster cluck a little bit, especially with today the FTC announced that Google agreed to change the way it does some things, specifically in regards to patents, to FRAND patents. And that, you know, patents were one of the main reasons Google bought Motorola, right? So it's Google bought Motorola. Motorola's going to continue. Like, here's Google right here in this hand. Here's Motorola in this hand. Motorola's going to make phones by itself because that's what it does, and Google's going to do its stuff. And they're not all like lovey-dovey yet, right?
But they should be.
You think?
Well, I think we're going to see Motorola run as a model manufacturer. There's going to be some input from Google there, and of course they're going to be separate companies, but I think it would be a bit naive to think that things aren't going to change ever so slightly in the way Motorola does its smartphones.
You know, and I keep going back to the, you know, when's Google going to have influence over Motorola and make, you know, everything's going to be a Google phone? And next, it's like, no, it's not going to work like that, right? Motorola's going to remain an OEM that makes phones that Verizon wants and AT&T wants, right? And Sprint.
Yep.
Probably, but we're allowed to wish.
Well, that's true.
Now that Microsoft makes their own devices, Google can get away with it. From, you know, a legislative point of view.
Hang on.
There's no reason not to.
Wait a minute. No, you're not allowed to wish. You're not allowed to dream, because I kill those. That's my job here. It's in my contract. I kill dreams and wishes. Sorry. That's just the way it is. You're going to leave that hanging out there?
Yes. Yes. Yep. I have nothing. I have no, you are a mean little son of a gun. All I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, so that's, we really don't know much more about that. And
no,
we're kind of in that point of the year where there, you start getting whispers about phones, because guess what? The companies are making phones. You know, yes, HTC is working on its next line of whatever. And, you know, there's, I guess we can transition into CES. There have been rumors that HTC will unveil this M7 phone at CES. And backing up a little further, the M7 was supposed to be the new flagship phone. And there's actually a list of code names that's come out recently that doesn't really do anything more than give you a list of code names. But here's my thing. If HTC was going to unveil a flagship phone at CES, it would have a press conference at CES, right?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there because, you know, that's how these things work. HTC is not having a press conference at CES. So I think we can probably let that go a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question. We've got a big AT&T event. Maybe they'll get something. But it's not gonna be flagship. It's not going to be international. Yeah. That next big thing, the N7, that's going to be MWC.
Yeah, pretty sure that'll be Spain at the end of February.
Yeah.
Would it be great if Peter Chow came out in the middle of the Samsung press conference and grabbed the mic and say, I'm going to let you finish. The M7 is the greatest phone of all time. Held it up and then dropped it and walked away.
I tell you.
Maybe that could happen.
These HTC Frequencies events that I've been to, and for those of you who don't know, it's a bunch of, you know, bloggers and journalists in a room talking off-the-record type stuff. But the one thing that you get spending any time with HTC people is how much they all just love Peter Chow. Like, the man just sounds like a character, and sounds like he's so much fun and seriously passionate about this business.
He's my favorite.
Yeah. And, you know, and I've only, you know, gotten to see him at events and stuff. So we've never like had, we don't play racquetball basically. but everybody who I've ever talked to, you know, from HTC just talks, you know, so well about that man. So it really sounds like fun. Yeah, I mean, anything's possible, I guess. I mean, there's still a couple HTC phones we haven't gotten our hands on. Have we, Alex, the One SV?
The One SV is just, well, it came out in Asia, right? A couple of months ago, I think.
I thought Europe
got it. It's just come out in the UK SIM-free today. I think he's going to get it in the next few weeks. I'm pretty sure it's not coming out in the US, so we may or may not see it in Vegas. I don't know.
I've got the one. Oh, you might, just because phones are late. Like,
it's
my
the VX,
favorite,
I think, the one you have, isn't it?
Actually, what I really want to do with you, Alex, is take you to the Motorola booth, because they have all the really cool Asian Motorola phones that we never see here. It's just like a wall of weird stuff. It's awesome. Yeah, I've got the One VX here, and I'm almost done with the review. I saw some others started going up today, and I think we're all pretty much on the same page that it's actually a really good mid-range phone. And for me, the most outstanding part of it is it's only a 540 resolution display, so it's QHD. It's not 720p, and it's not the, oh my god, 1080p that they have in the Droid DNA. But 540 at Super LCD 2 instead of AMOLED looks really good. And I don't think that's a surprise to anyone who's ever listened to us, right? I mean, we all love the Super LCD display, and it looks fine. Like, I could use this 540 display. Absolutely.
Is ICS on this thing a deal breaker for you?
I don't think it's a deal breaker. I think it's something, you know, I would expect them to do something about as soon as they can, or at some point. I mean, again, you can only update so many phones at once. And Jelly Bean's still relatively new, right? No, is this not running 4.1?
It's
my battery's dead.
I don't think it is.
Can't see. it's just no. Don't. That's not the phone's fault. At any time, I have a half dozen dead phones over here. I can't remember. If it's not running 4.1, at least it should be soon. Let me just.
According to a specs post written by you, it is running Ice Cream Sandwich.
Don't believe that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Google Now?
Doesn't matter. It matters what HTC has done with Ice Cream Sandwich.
Right.
Whether it's a fail or a pass at this point.
No, and it looks and feels like Sense, right? So it's...
There you go. I mean, there's not a whole lot of difference between Ice Cream Sandwich and Jelly Bean on, like, the 1X.
It feels like more of a phone, I think, than the 1X does, just because it's rounded. It's not as blocky. I still say the 1S is sexier. It's, you know, just...
Yeah, I really hope they don't abandon that design next year.
I don't think they will.
It's just the soft touch next year.
And especially now that they've gotten... Well, I got to ask about that, because it was a technical thing, right? They couldn't get a 720p display in that 4.3-inch size of the 1S. This is 4.5 inches. Yeah, this is 4.5 inches. I don't know if those 0.2 inch make a difference. You know, things could have changed since then, and I just haven't asked.
I think it's got more to do with the thickness, because AMOLEDs are thinner than LCDs, because you just got the matrix and not the backlight.
Yeah, no, it might. The way I'm not sure. I need to talk to them about that. So, no, it's a good phone. I still have a problem saying, you know, go buy a $50 phone on a 2-year contract, because that math just doesn't add up, right? You know, it's like buying a $500 car and then being indentured to some company for 5 years, paying it off. And then, you know, like, you know, the numbers just don't add up. So, but on its own, like, you know, standing here by itself, this is a really good phone. When your mid-level phone is this, you're in pretty good shape, or even your sub-mid-level. And it's weird. I keep thinking about where it fits in the ecosystem. And I think, except for the display, it's definitely a little bit under the 1S, you know, beneath the 1S, but the display is better. So take that for what it is. And you can't really get the 1S easily on a AT&T and actually have 3G or anything. So,
yeah.
So that's that. HTC and at CES, not expecting a lot. What are we expecting, Alex? Sony is going to have some kind of big stuff, right?
Sony, LG, and NVIDIA. So Sony is going to have what we're pretty sure is going to be the Xperia Z, Xperia Z, Xperia ZL, Xperia ZL.
Hey, everybody, when Alex phones. Says Z, that's the letter
yep,
Z,
we say Z. Renee says Z.
I know.
Thank you, Renee.
You guys are weird.
This is pretty interesting for Sony, because they're finally starting to catch up with a lot of these other manufacturers. Traditionally, they've been a year behind everyone else almost in terms of specs. This time last year, we had the Xperia S, which was last year's version of Android, last year's CPU, and all this stuff. Now they've actually gone through quite a few product cycles in the past year, and we've got a 1080p screen on this thing, 5-inch, quad core. Snapdragon S4, this crazy 13 megapixel camera. So I think Sony's actually going to be pretty well suited for 2013 with this thing. Two different versions of it. We imagine one will probably be LTE focused, the ZL or ZL. It's both sort of glass plated on the front and back, which is kind of interesting. We've seen that before on the Optimus G and Nexus 4. So it looks like a nice device. Everything's leaked, as it always does with Sony. So we kind of know what we're getting. But I think they're still fighting an uphill battle in the US for the market share and awareness and stuff. Which is interesting.
Because they won't sell their damn phones. Screw you, Sony.
Well,
I want one so bad, and they won't even... I don't want to pay $900 for one from an importer. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and they don't make CDMA phones for the US either, which is another sort of barrier to them being able to get in. Interestingly, in Europe, they're actually, I think, in the UK, actually, they're second only to Samsung in Android market share, which is, you know, partly to do with HTC losing out to Samsung, and so Sony just kind of floats towards the top.
Incredible.
They released a million billion phones over here last year, a lot of which were, you know, not necessarily updated at all or in a timely manner, but it seems to be paying off for them, because they're getting the market share there. And if they've got something really interesting next year that comes out pretty quickly, then they might just be able to get a bit of an advantage on HTC and Samsung.
Just, they've got that online store that I can buy a laptop. Man, if I could just click a button and buy a phone, if anybody from Sony's listening, why don't y'all do that? Please, I want to buy one of y'all. You're great. I wanted an Arc S bad.
Yeah, I like that.
Arc S was nice. I wanted an Arc S, but
by the time I could buy one in the United States and then the markup from the importer, it just wasn't worth it anymore.
It goes back to this goes back to my very first Mobile World Congress. We get there a day late because we got stuck in Atlanta on the way out for snow. And so we get there a day late. We get off the plane at like, I don't know, 10 noon. No, it was like 8 in the morning. It was early. You know, it's my first time going overseas, first time being that far ahead time zone wise. And the first event we have is a Sony press conference that I thought was just a party. Like, I was still really new at this job. And we get in there and we're having drinks, we're having food. And they're like, all right, come this way and we're going to have a press conference. I'm like, whoa, hey, nobody told us about this. And again, I knew nothing about this job. So we do a press conference and I'm like nodding off in the middle of it. And they do a Q&A at the end. And I ask Sir Howard Stringer, who was the president of Sony Ericsson at the time. I'm like, so when's all this stuff going to come to the U.S. ever? Because you make really good things. We just never see it. Which is, in retrospect, a really dumb question. Because it's just not the way it works. But the question, you know, is still valid, right? I want to see more of this stuff. And what we have seen is just not great.
Yeah, like I say, Sony's been behind the curve a bit. And they started to catch up a bit in 2012. So, yeah, hopefully they can show us some really cool stuff at CES.
Who else? TVs. Yeah.
I think we get like appliances in general are going to be a pretty big thing there. We've already heard, I think, from LG today with all kinds of connected stuff. Samsung, I've heard as well, is going to show a lot of kitchen based things that either connect to smartphones or have smart stuff built into them.
And a lot of this isn't new. I mean, this was all there last year.
Yeah.
And they're still making more. When I was in Korea, LG showed us their showroom with like every product ever, and you know, refrigerators, washers, dryers, vacuum robots. I mean, like everything's connected to Android somehow.
The Robo King.
Yeah.
I want to be able to grab my phone and say, "Robo King, begin cleaning," and it starts to clean the floor. I'll have the cleanest house in America because ever stop.
No, hang on. You got to give it a better name than that.
No, its name is Robo King.
Lucille or Sally or Steve or
I kind of like Robo King.
All right, fine.
Eat a chow.
Polaroid, yeah. We know is bringing another Android based camera. Of course, I saw Polaroid's Android based camera they showed off last year and never released. So be that as it may.
Potentially a big deal if they can have a really decent you know, semi-compact camera with interchangeable lenses. That's going to be pretty cool.
One step closer to the ultimate. Yep.
Are we expecting anything from LG just on the phone front? I know we've had rumors, but
there's a rumor that Optimus G2, which, I mean, can't be much more than a specced up version of it. Mm. But
I remember we had in Korea, there was the Optimus View and then the Optimus View 2, and that was only a few months apart.
Right. So I mean,
it's possible. It might just be an Optimus G with the biggest, you know, high resolution screen. I could see them doing that, perhaps.
You know, they need to put one out with ice cream sandwich or with a 4-1
jelly bean. Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, we should get a European one. I think.
Yeah,
we're about due for that because it's not the G's not been released over here yet.
Yeah, LG. I'm trying to remember. That was Samsung who snuck up on us that one CTIA. Yeah, I mean, LG's press conference is always the first thing on Monday morning. It's like 8 o'clock Vegas time, which at least isn't horribly early for me because I'm up at like 4 there. And it's a lot of their connected home stuff, so it's going to be a lot of, you know, dishwashers and refrigerators and all that talk. And then some smartphone talk. So we'll see. We might get something new. I don't know. I don't think you're going to get anything grossly better. Because, I mean, the Optimus G is still kind of, it's really close to the pinnacle, if not the pinnacle right
now. They haven't invented anything better yet.
Yeah. I mean, they could invent
maybe get a
better UI for it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I guess we're about to use Jelly Bean for all those devices, so hopefully that's not going to be too far off. Although, I don't know if they'll maybe, if they'd use a press conference to give us information about that, maybe not.
Yeah, we'll see.
If I was LG, I would. I mean, Alex, you know, LG kind of stumbled a little bit in Europe, where they were building a little bit better brand.
Well, they stumbled because they released.
here is the Optimus G, and we're going to launch it with the latest. Here it is, blah, blah, blah. I could see that happening.
Yeah, well, they released the 2X and the 3D here last year, and both were pretty big flops. And as a result, none of the carriers really picked up the 4X this year. That was kind of a non-starter in Europe. But again, LTE is going to be big in Europe this year, especially in the UK. And if LG is one of the first with a European, this really high spec open LTE device, then yeah, same deal as Sony. If they can get it out before HTC and Samsung, that's going to be a big deal for them.
Speaking of Samsung, Galaxy S4 rumors at CES, I'm saying no.
Yeah, that's I would bet we don't. Very earliest it's going to be March. We see that, and it'll be a separate event. I guarantee you.
Yeah, they'll do their own shindig. They're big enough.
Oh God, I hate those rumors. I really hate those rumors. Like, where does that come from?
My favorites are the rumors that come from benchmarks where they change the model number and specs are just Galaxy S3 specs. Those are
always
fun. Yes,
people, if you're listening, you need to know just how easy it is to fake all that stuff. It
takes 30
seconds. You get all worked up. I get worked up, but in the end, it's always fake.
I mean, the exception to that is sometimes you see model numbers. Like, there was a GT N5100, I think, which has actually passed through the FCC and gone to other places as well. And the resolution's different. The chips are different. And that's appeared in the benchmark, and it looks like that's actually a real device. So it's not always clear cut, but when you see something that the specs match up exactly with the S3, then I think it's pretty obvious what we're looking at.
What else? Tablets. I would bet Toshiba has something.
Yeah, they're still going at it, aren't they,
Toshiba? Yeah. I mean, we say that it's not that Toshiba's made bad stuff. It's just like, all right, here it is, and that's it.
It's been nothing special.
Yeah.
Sony's going to throw out a lot of tablets this year, too, I think. Well, maybe not a lot to redo there.
Maybe not at CES. They just they released two. They had at least one at IFA, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And then it was pulled because there were issues with the water resistance. NVIDIA as well.
Who should make a tablet?
Every now and then you get those rumors that HTC is going to get back in the tablet game, and I just don't see it. It's not their forte. They've got enough to concentrate on getting the phones going.
Like you say, it's not what they've been doing. They've really struggled with tablets in the past as well. The Flyer, which was decent, I mean, they struggled to get that out for a decent price.
You see a lot of Huawei's coming out with stuff and ZTE is coming out with stuff. Some really low-end T-Mobile stuff. I mean, look, these are manufacturers that make devices all the time for, Asian, companies and stuff like that. I just said this on the Mobile Nations podcast. If you go to CES and especially MWC, just huge contingents from ZTE and Huawei. And it's not that it's necessarily bad product. It's just like it's not anything you're ever going to see in the U.S. So you're going to see all these headlines. And Acer's kind of another one, right, that kind of seems to get more play from these shows, and that's it. It's like, oh, here comes this big ZTE phone that you're never going to see on a carrier you've never heard of.
Mm. And Huawei had that. I think it was Huawei anyway. They had a 6.1-inch phone,
right.
1080p.
Which could happen, and you're just never, ever going to see it anywhere near here. So it's not that I don't necessarily care, but you're not going to see it here. So I, kind of prioritize what we worry about, right? The TVs, just aren't interesting me, guys, at all.
I think a lot of that is because you got in the beginning when it really, really sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, even the second generation stuff, I mean, I know you didn't fool with it much, if at all. It's miles better than it used to be. Mm-hmm. But there's still so much room to improve. I don't want to rant on the Nexus Q, but I look at the Nexus Q and the two things it can do. Yes, it's very limited. You're allowed to hate it. But it does those two things very well. Google TV can do so much more, but it doesn't do anything very well.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a problem.
Well, and just having it built in, I mean, I'm not going to run out and buy a brand new TV just because I see it at CES, and frankly, it's not going to be available for a while, right? I mean, a TV is such a bigger purchase, and I would rather spend, you know, a couple $100, $300 on something smaller, you know, more portable, and that's less of an investment. That gets me more excited, because if it sucks...
The interesting side of it for me is Samsung came out this week with kind of like an upgrade add-on for its, I think it's last generation of smart TVs. I think if we're getting into Google TV and that kind of stuff, then, you know, selling like upgrade kits for existing TVs that just upgrade the smart components in it, that's going to be, you know, maybe something interesting to watch out for in the future.
Yeah. Anybody else going to get into that game that hasn't currently? I mean, you got Sony, you got Samsung's building everything in, mostly. I still think Google's let's just start talking. What do we think we're going to see in 2013? Jerry, what do you think's, you know, your top three things that Google's going to do?
I think that they are going to move more towards the interconnection between devices.
Yeah.
They have tried with, like, let's use Miracast, Wi-Fi Direct, all these different ways that devices can communicate with each other. And I really think and really hope that a focus gets put on that, and somebody throws us, you know, a book down at a meeting somewhere and says, damn it, we need you to do it. And they actually make it start working instead of just throwing bits and pieces at us.
So speaking of Miracast, I've got that Netgear puck here that I bought way back when, only to find that it's pre-compatibility for Miracast, so it doesn't actually match with the standard that the Nexus 4 has. So a long time ago, Netgear told me that they were going to work on a firmware upgrade, and then they quit returning my emails. So those firmware upgrades are floating around out there. I think Callan from Droid Life did a video of it, and basically his experience was mine, only I wasn't nearly as happy with it. The display mirroring just doesn't do it for me now. Like, I get that there's a time and a place for it, but In playing a game, I guess it kind of makes sense, right? But even then, it needs to get better. But watching, it's right.
It needs to also have what HTC and Samsung have,
right?
On top of the mirroring,
right? So you can do something different. But more than that, it's just that's not how I want to watch video. That's not how I want to watch movies, right? I mean, streaming it from your phone just seems like such a resource waste. I would rather control an appliance on my entertainment center and not be taxing the phone, not be pushing the battery, not be pushing the processor.
Like a little cannonball that has neon lights that Google needs to relook at.
Yep.
Like they promised they would.
Nothing we haven't talked about that before, but that beta firmware is out there. So if you've got one and you want to play with it, you can. I'm not doing a post on it until it's official, because just who knows with that sort of stuff. And, you know, I wasn't all that impressed anyway. anything new in the tablet space, you think? Or they're just going to kind of refine the 7 and make it better? Or?
I think I can definitely see let me rephrase that. I would like to see a Nexus 8 with a Nexus 10 level screen.
So a little bit bigger?
Maybe a bit bigger. High resolution, you know, high DPI screen. And whatever, you know, whatever hardware they can throw in there. I think that's probably the next step for small tablets.
I don't know how much better you're going to be able to get a small tablet screen. I haven't been keeping up on how little they can shrink it. I know the 10.
I don't mean exactly the 10, but maybe say, you know, go from 1280 by 800 to, say, 1920 by 1200, that kind of leap.
See, that's. I think 8.9 is the smallest you're going to be able to get that in. Mm. At least that was the last time. I'm sure this advances. But yeah, I would love to see a better screen. Let's put just the word better out there on the Nexus 7. Not that it's bad, but you're right. It would be cool with a little bit of a bump.
I think we got to acknowledge some of the performance hiccups we've had with the 7 lately.
And I was going to say, first and foremost, I want Google to clean up the code, right? Because something
in
that 4.2.1 update broke stuff. I mean, just...
You just need to reset your tablet.
I already have. Right? No, I did. I reset it because, remember, I never had an unlocked bootloader, and we were going to... I forget what we were testing. We were testing some... What were we testing? I don't remember. We were testing something. I needed root. So I wiped it and unlocked the bootloader and wiped it and, you know, reloaded everything, and it's slow again. So it's either a bad app, which I suppose is possible, but...
I think it could be that just if you've been using the Nexus 4 full-time like I have, that you go back to using, you know, a chip which is essentially a generation behind that, and maybe you're just been spoiled by the S4 Pro.
Ooh, you think?
Could be.
It's entirely possible.
I just know I saw some of this stuff everybody was complaining about, and I just grabbed the images from Google and reflashed and started new without worrying about, you know, upgrade process or anything.
No, I didn't reflash.
And just flies just like it did before.
I didn't reflash.
No degradation at all.
Should I try reflashing?
You might. That would help, you know, either confirm or bash my idea. It's always good. Hey, you know, if it's wrong, let's find out it's wrong right away.
Yeah.
But I really think it's something to do with the upgrade process and old data and new data mixing together. And, man, that's something that it's not just Android. I've seen a little bit of it when I was playing with iOS. That's part of over-the-air updates. Sorry, guys. You're just going to have that every now and again.
Yeah. That's why I quit using – people ask, you know, why don't you use Titanium Backup? And that was why. Just
– yeah.
I would have wonky things every now and then. All right, okay. So maybe I'll quit hating on Google for that. But I still say the Nexus 4 – and again, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just an upgrade thing. The Nexus 4 when I got the official 421 with the lock screen and all that stuff. Like something happened. But like you say, maybe that was – maybe that was, you know, just the upgrade process doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't have the Nexus 10 long enough to notice how it ran before the update.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, maybe you're onto something there. I only know what happened with my Nexus 7 because, yeah, I wasn't going to put up with it churning, especially when I didn't want it to churn.
And it's still worth mentioning that we're talking about all this and the images are still unavailable for the 4. We never got the 10. Was the Nexus 7 pulled? The factory images pulled for that?
I don't think so. I think it's just the 4.
Just the 4.
It was. Okay, so. I think it was the 10 as well, wasn't it?
The 10 never got... No, the 10's still there. The 10 never got the JOP40D or whatever the designation was. It doesn't have the 421 image. And that was... We've never had that one. Something wrong with it or something. I forget what. But we've never had that one. So, no, it's just the 4 that's missing. So, I don't know. I mean, it's so much it could be, and I don't pretend to understand all this, but something's odd, and it's not just me.
And it's something nobody at Mountain View wants to talk about. So, there you have it. That's why nobody's talking about it.
Yeah. We don't know. I want to see more... Talked about this earlier. I want to see something happen in the messaging space, I think.
Yes.
Just because, you know, you've got Google Talk, which is part of Google Plus, but feels separate half the time. I mean, it's so... Part of it's just the protocol, right? So you can get into it a dozen different ways. Do we have a Do Not Disturb function on these phones, by the way? Because I got people IMing me at like 3 in the morning. I need to make that stop. Anybody? No.
I mean, I know an app that'll fix it for you.
Oh, okay. I mean, you got that. I don't know that I want Google Voice tied into that, even though it's a Google application. I don't know that I want my IMs tied in with my IMs tied in with my SMSs. It's just I think I like having those separate.
I think there's still a lot of duplication in the messenger that comes with Google Plus and the Gtalk app.
Exactly.
I think some of that's probably going to be rolled into itself at some point.
I would imagine so. I still think I was talking about this in the Mobile Nations podcast too. The living room, and you know, as you hear us gush about the Nexus Q, the living room's a big deal, right? It's a huge deal. So,
I think what Google needs to do with that is they need to take completely the opposite, idea of the Nexus Q. They need to make something that's small, cheap, maybe a little USB stick or HDMI stick that plugs into a TV and connects to your phone and does more than the Q did. And do what they did with the 7, make it cheap, make it easy to get hold of, and make it so that you can plug into any TV out there.
What's the Q's biggest problem, and aside from the cost, because obviously $300 was a lot for that. But part of the reason, and I still love the design, I think the design was great, but it had all this stuff that you don't necessarily need in something like that. And I mean, the power amplifier and the banana plugs and the speakers. I mean, was that just unnecessary for something like that?
You can make the argument that a lot of stuff on the Q was unnecessary, but it was there for style, partly, wasn't it? It was there so you could have all these cables coming out the back of it. You had the crazy audio stuff. You had these big leads coming out the back, so it looked like a giant eyeball. I think part of it was functional. Part of it was sort of stylistic.
I mean, a $12 amplifier turned it into a standalone device. You don't need a TV.
Right, which I think was cool. Not necessarily.
I just useful.
I think we can all agree the Q.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we can all agree the Q isn't the direction Google needs to go with the living room. That they need to probably do something quite radically different from what they were trying to do with the Q last year, or maybe do the Q at the high end and something else that's maybe just the same but a bit less, and that's smaller, a bit easier.
I still use the Q every day, and I still love the idea of it. You know, it does the work, and the phone is the controller, or tablet, or whatever. You know what else I want to see in that respect is, like, a desktop client, too? You know, so it's not just the phone.
Yeah, so a Chrome extension. Google, make that happen.
Right.
That would be so easy for you all to do. I'm, you know, here I say that 3,000 miles away.
I don't know whether all this, this phone control stuff and this, remote control stuff is maybe just dancing around what maybe you just need to have a traditional remote control. Maybe this is
that's crazy talk.
A side of it. No?
Crazy talk.
You think?
Yeah. I don't. I say that and I've got a Logitech Harmony, so can't live without that.
We have it's funny. We have a cheap, little 8 gigabyte Samsung 7-inch tablet with the Peel remote app in it because it was cheaper than the Harmony.
Right.
That's what I bought. It works fine.
What else? Gaming? I don't know. Whatever.
Well, no, all this gaming, that ties back into the Nexus Q.
It does.
A Q-like device. I keep saying the Nexus Q, but it's dead. They're never going to continue to make it. They're going to make something to replace it. But plug it in. All the games you've ever bought on Google Play are there available. You pick one with a controller and boom, play it on your TV. Right. Who wouldn't love that?
I'm real curious to see what ends up with this Wii thing and our developer units on the way for what that's worth. You can't really do a lot with it. But that's why we, forked over some money for it is to help them out and we'll see. I don't know that I like the design of the thing very much. I think you're going to look at it next to the Nexus Q and be like, oh, okay.
Well, a third-party solution means you have to depend on third-party support.
Right.
I want to see it come from Google. That way we have a better expectation of how long it's going to be, supported and work.
Phone-wise, I don't know. We'll get new phones. They'll have better specs.
We talked about, I was going to say, well, we're on CES stuff sort of vaguely. We talked about NVIDIA at CES.
No, God, I keep forgetting about that. I did that earlier too. Yeah, because that's like probably the big event we have, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's on Sunday night, isn't it?
Sunday night.
Yep, Sunday at 8 o'clock-ish,
like that.
8.
We'll put a schedule up. How about that?
Something,
I think it's 8 o'clock Vegas time. maybe 7, 8 o'clock. Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, it's like we still know what NVIDIA's roadmap has been as far as the tech goes. I mean, they might call it Tegra 4 or whatever, and yeah, it's going to be 6 times faster or whatever, but it's the march along what they've been doing. I think they've done really well. As much as I don't like the idea of the Tegra zone and this separate place to buy things, I think they've done a really good job marketing it. They've done a really good job with, you know, socially and with blogs and stuff. I mean, all these giveaways you see, and we've done a few. But, you know, NVIDIA spent a lot of money to get its name out there. And in fact, we need to mention that they sponsored the contest to bring a bunch of Android Central readers to Vegas to CES. So they're definitely spending the money, much like Samsung has done, to get their name out there. And I don't think you can... It's tougher to market something like the internals of devices, right? But hell, Intel did it with Intel Inside, you know, years ago, and that worked. And they had little stickers on everything that would say Intel Inside. Although I had an AMD on my first computer, it said AMD instead. I always thought that was really cool.
But NVIDIA is following the model that's worked for them on the computer desktop, where they, you know, tie themselves in with games and just be in your face at every turn.
Right.
And, heck, it works.
So that'll be the big one Sunday. And other than that, a whole bunch of accessories, a whole bunch of just weird Android related stuff.
Mail.
Anyone with the Bluetooth, anything, they're like, and it works with smartphones. Well, I hope so. Bluetooth. AT&T's got their developer conference. Alex mentioned it earlier, I think. So we'll, you know, maybe get a couple things out of that. Maybe.
Yeah, we had a ton of devices there last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we had like six.
Six.
I don't think it's going to be... I don't know. I mean, Motorola's not doing anything. So usually they've had a press conference where they show off devices. And last year was... No, it was 2 years ago that we had the Zoom and like six different things. I mean, not that we're, you know, not going to be busy, but... Let me just look at the schedule. Sunday, Toshiba, kind of party. I have a feeling they'll show off some stuff. NVIDIA event starts at 8 p.m. Pacific. LG, Monday morning, Panasonic, Huawei, Intel. Although I can't remember. I think that's like the Intel computer side of things, which actually is a really fun press event to go to. I sat in on that last year. Samsung presser, which is going to be a lot like LG in that there's a lot of like non- mobile stuff in there, which is fun. You know, it's interesting to see. Sony. And that's kind of it. I mean, we've got meetings and stuff, but not huge, you know, press conferences. So again, it goes back to, and we talked a lot about this in the Mobile Nations podcast, so go listen to that. But it goes back to release cycles and how things work in different shows. So if you want to follow it all, actually go to androidcentral.com/CES. It's everything's going to be there, and I'll put a nice big link up on the homepage tomorrow, the next day, and we'll get that done. I don't know. Anything else you guys are excited about? It's so weird doing a podcast in the afternoon.
I don't know. We don't know a hell of a lot about what LG is going to give us. I think it's probably going to be more than just another Optimus G. For, you know, different territories and stuff. I think we might get something new from them. Just got a hunch.
Well, I'm excited, and Phil, you're probably going to hit me for Tizen.
Yeah, all right. Talk about... Actually, how have we not talked about this yet? So talk about that, then let's talk about Ubuntu for a minute.
I was a big fan of Migo, and I just hated the N9. I hated the phone itself, not the operating system. And all support for it was dropped, but... The people from Intel that were working on Migo got together with Samsung.
Back up a second. What was Migo?
Migo is 100% open source Linux on your phone.
Okay.
It was even more Linuxy than Android, even more Linuxy than WebOS. It was pretty much Linux for your phone. And they tried it with Migo, and it just got dropped. Nobody wanted to pick up the phones. So Samsung and Intel got together, the people from Intel that were working on Migo, and they Tizen is like the next step for Migo. And I want to see quad core Samsung, oh my God, look at me phones running a really nice open source version of Linux. I want to play with that really, really bad. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of, you know, enthusiasm about do we need another phone operating system? Is it going to be successful? All that, I have no idea. And quite frankly, I don't care. This is just a selfish, I want to play with Linux on a 4-inch screen. Please make it happen. Release at least one phone so I can get it and play with it.
So how does that...
And that's about it.
So how does that transition to... Well, I don't know. Are we ever going to see an actual Ubuntu phone? Like somebody going to make hardware with this already on it? Or is it just going to be the same?
Not in the States.
Yeah.
We're going to see a Foxconn $150 off-contract device released in Africa and India with Ubuntu on it. And it'll probably work well enough, and I wish them all the best. Ubuntu on a phone in the States and in Europe is dead in the water.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The carriers are not going to let it fly. It's entirely too open. And quite frankly, people like me and a lot of you guys, it's our damn fault for some of the things we do and screw the carriers over on the phones. And they're just not – you can say, oh, GSM just put my SIM card in it. AT&T can keep them phones off their network if they want. And I'm pretty sure they will. And don't even think about Verizon. It's just too – the people that are going to buy them – are going to be the people that are going to do things to break Verizon.
Right.
And anyone that's going to manufacture a handset like this is going to be competing for that third spot with RIM and with Microsoft.
No. Absolutely not.
Well,
I think what this is going to be is more along the lines, I mean, look, Bata phones didn't go anywhere, right? But you've also got Mozilla out there still working on that Firefox OS, right? And this is how I see those things. I don't know enough about Canonical and the way they work in the world, and probably the same with Mozilla, but I see these more as like developing nation type phones.
Yep.
Does that make more sense?
Yeah, because they can be built so cheap.
Right. And just hand it out. And that's not an unimportant thing. Go back to, is it last year? I think it was last year, Eric Schmidt's keynote in Barcelona. And basically, you know, traveling to these places that aren't connected, which I think goes into why he is trying to go to North Korea with, I forget who, former politician, you know, and connecting these parts of the world that aren't connected. And that's, it's a very important thing. And that's where phones like these can come in, you know, not, you don't need an Optimus G in Ghana or wherever, you know, pick your African nation or, you know, South America or, you know, just poor regions without great connectivity, without the infrastructure to handle the data needed for something like an Optimus G or a Nexus 4 or whatever, right? I mean, the evolution you need to get from one to the other are pretty mind-boggling.
I agree completely. And if we can learn anything from the computer side, these Linux-based, pretty thin operating systems can run really good on really cheap and poor hardware, and there's zero cost in the software. So I think it's very important that Canonical and Samsung and IBM, everybody else, I think it's very important that they keep pumping out, you know, open source solutions. I'm a big open source guy. I also, like Phil was saying, that, you know, I think India is a big example. India is, you know, India is not a third world country. We look on the Discovery Channel, we see jungles, but India is a huge country with huge, you know, metropolitan areas. But once you get outside of those metro areas, there are a lot of people that don't have a smartphone,
right,
and could use one and need one, and don't have $500 to throw to Samsung or LG on a whim to buy a smartphone. So let's get one in their hands. I'd prefer it be Android, but Android's just got a little bit too big for their britches, and I think it's going to be something like Firefox or Ubuntu can sneak in and help those people.
Exactly. CES and Ubuntu and kind of, you know, nice. God, I love the holidays because here's how smart. All right, all you people out there listening, here's how smart Jerry and Alex are and everybody else who works at Android Central. Huh? I didn't even have to tell them to take like the last week and a half off. They just kind of knew. Just chill. Don't have to, you know, bust our balls on Christmas. And it was so nice. I love you guys.
We love you too, Uncle Phil.
I don't have any emails or voicemails ready, and I mean, I could half-ass it, or we can just call it a day and go to Las Vegas. What do you guys think?
I think you should be forced to do it, but you're the boss.
It's been a long week. So, with that, if you want to email us, do so at podcast@androidcentral.com. I promise we will catch back up on those. Get us on Twitter at Android Central, at Phil Nickinson, at GBHIL, at Alex Dobie. But Google Plus is probably the best place because the interaction there is so much better than Twitter. We've talked about this every week. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. Get them at 888-468-6158. That's 888-468-6158, or even better is shopandroid.com. And you can leave us a voicemail at that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222. And you can email us one as well. And I promise we will catch up on the emails and voicemails after we get back from Vegas. So we will have at least one podcast with everybody from all the Mobile Nation sites from Las Vegas next week. So look forward to that. Again, androidcentral.com/CES for all the CES news. It's already starting. You know, I'm sure they'll put out press releases while I'm in the air on Sunday because that's usually how it works, which is helpful. Thanks. And with that, Jerry, Alex, there goes my dog. See y'all next week. See you from Vegas.
Later on.
See ya.